Welcome back to a very special episode of Overdunk this week. It is episode 114, and this is your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and joined with me tonight is basically everybody that I could find. We have, of course, our normal co-hosts as per usual. We got Bridget, we got Doomsnax, but joining us here in the booth, we have Spraggles, Wonder Chef, Kellosaurus, and soon joining us will be Danily. We got the entire world's casting squad and, of course, the hosts of Overdunk. It is a packed house. I cannot wait. But let's check in with our new guests, shall we? Bridget, Doosnax, we'll get to you. Don't worry. But let's check in with the new squad. Kello, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast. How have you been, my friend? It has been too long since we've been able to talk to you. How are things over in OC?
Thank you for having me. I feel like it's only been a couple of weeks since we actually talked. We ended up doing Underdunk together.
That was sick.
But no, I'm feeling good. It's about midday here, so at least I'm not in the degen hours like I usually am.
True. I like how I said it's been way too long since we talked, and Kello's like, 2 weeks is about long enough, actually. it's actually a good amount of time. I like to keep those breaks. Hey, self-care, I get it. Wonder Chef, of course. My man, I've been casting with all year long. How have you been, my friend?
It's been too much of that as well.
No. Yeah, all right.
I'm doing great. I think that you should change the official title of this. I said it on Twitter, but this whole episode needs to be the world's casters get to hang out with Bridget, because that's what people are thinking.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel most episodes. So, yeah, I think that's a really good self-title. We'll put it in the description for sure. Spraggles, content cowboy, you're no stranger to the website, to the podcast. You've been on a couple of times.
I love that website, man. I love
Okay, Doosnax, I've been meaning to talk to you about for a long time. We should start the website, but anyway, we'll talk about it later. Spraggles, how have you been?
Great, man. You know, whenever I have a website that I'm just crazy about, like, I can't shut up about it, so I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Always good to hear. Doosnax, back in your regular spot here on the podcast, my friend. How have you been?
Doing good. I'll keep it short because we got a lot of folks out here that are more important than me, so let's get after it.
All right. And of course, most important, Bridget, how, my friend, how about you? It looks like you're all settled in into the new apartment. We've been in the moving saga for a while. It's looking good.
Yeah, I am mostly there, but I feel like when you move, there's always like two boxes that you just don't unpack for a month, and that's about the phase I'm at. So
okay.
The box is out of frame now, so we at least got there.
Yeah, all right. Hey, ambitious to get those done within 2 months. Those are eternal boxes, in my opinion.
Fine.
For the most part, but. All right, well, a bit of housekeeping up front for the episode. This will almost assuredly be our last episode before the World Championships. We won't have time to record an episode next week just with all the travel plans and things like that. So this is going to be our pre-Worlds extravaganza celebration preview show, whatever you want to call it. So I'm pretty excited about that. I mean, it's an exciting event, obviously, all on its own, but I'm excited to get everybody's opinions and stuff about the event itself. But so let's just jump into it. Let's start talking about Worlds 2024 held in Hawaii. I believe it's technically a returning visit to Hawaii. I think the third time that the World Championships has been held there. Doosnax and Wonder Chef, you're probably the two most likely to have ever been. Were either of you at either of those World Championships?
I was not.
Okay. Well, first time for all of us, of course, so it is going to be a lot of fun. I wanted to actually start off with, let's start with, the non-Unite stuff first. There's, a couple of cool things going on as a part of the celebration. I was looking at, kind of the list of activities and events that are going to be a part of the World Championships, side events for people to compete in or just attend and check out. So, was anybody able to check out that list? Anything exciting? Anything in just your trip to Hawaii / the World Championships that you are mostly excited for? And Bridget, we'll talk to you about what you're excited to see on the broadcast, potentially. So, Kello, how about you? Anything about this trip to Hawaii that you are excited about, maybe outside of the Unite sphere?
Oh, I just had a look. I see there is the Pocket demo.
Uh-huh.
There. I'm excited for that.
I know.
I can't wait to try that out.
I am stoked. I was kind of assuming that was going to be Spraggles' immediate go-to one. I am personally pumped for that one. So, Spraggles, is Pocket the thing you're most excited about this championships?
Yeah. That, and I mean, I think the day of announcements right after, like on Championship Sunday, like what's coming in the world of Pokemon, they try to give a little bit of everything. Hopefully we get some cool Unite stuff. Like we usually get a few Pokemon.
Yeah.
They might be able to give us even more this time. They've got two new games on the horizon with Pocket and Arceus Z or whatever it's called. So I think that'll be pretty super. Close, right?
Drop the Arceus and you're way closer.
But you get what I'm talking about. It's cool to like see a lot of that stuff. And then of course, like a trip to Hawaii is going to be fun.
That's true. Yeah. I see Ducky asking in chat, aren't we supposed to get the next three Pokemon announced at Worlds? It's not like a given rule, but the last two Worlds, they've given us the next three Pokemon. So we're all hoping. We're all hoping.
We don't know, but we know. Like,
we know the one. Do you know more? Okay, we'll see.
I don't know what they're going to be, but we okay. Like, if they don't, that would be very odd.
Yeah, that would be.
Because, so that'd be very bad. Please do it.
Please. Please. Dupesex, how about you? Is there anything out there that you're excited about the World Championships outside of Pokemon Unite?
Being in Hawaii, that sounds hella dope. I'm not usually tapped into the other games too much, so I can't speak to those. But just the announcements is always fun. Finding out if they'll announce next year's world's location, I think, is something they typically do.
That's
on
always
Sunday
happened.
To
yep.
close out. So that's gonna be fun as well.
Cool. Are you gonna purchase a ukulele?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Ukulele and skateboard are my two must-have items.
The most expensive items.
Of course. I mean, who's to say? I mean, I've got the skateboards, the first two that they've made, and I kind of think it would be sick to have as many as from now on going forward until they stop. So those are the two benchmark items without a doubt.
Yeah, they're great. And everyone is not shy to let you let us know on the podcast that your background absolutely diffs mine. That is something that people bring up all the time. I have a whiteboard now. I want to remind everyone about the two essentials. All right, Wonder Chef, how about you? Anything about the event, even Hawaii in particular, that is really exciting for you outside of the typical Unite stuff that we're all obviously quite excited for?
I am excited because I've heard the 7-Elevens there are quite good, and that was also my highlight of the Japan trip last year. So realistically, that's all I need in life, I think, is a good convenience store. And I believe we're pretty close to one, so I'm looking forward to that. But I really just want to see how they're going to follow up Japan, because that was such an event, right? Like the city, the country, there was literally stuff the entire country away that was happening. And I just want to see how they can follow that up this year, which, I mean, they've got to do something.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a lot if they're going to top Japan. That was a little absurd with just the amount.
I don't think they can top Japan at all. Japan was so into it. Zoinks and I were walking on the street days after the event and were handed a newspaper that had like the Pokemon Unite winners in it. Not even just all like it had Unite in it. That's how they were into Pokemon they were there. It was crazy.
Yeah. That and a bartender who decided to talk about the tea with us about a player getting disqualified mid-tournament, which was so crazy. That was particularly wild. They also had the literal SSN parked next to the venue. That's crazy. There's a drone show again. That's cool, I guess. I don't know.
The drone show was pretty cool.
It was cool. Bridget, though, how about you on the broadcast side of things? Anything you're particularly excited? Are you going to tune into any of the other games? Big announcements on Sunday? That kind of stuff?
I'll definitely be probably watching VGC finals on Sunday. Cool. But aside from that, as the non-actual goer to Worlds, I'm actually excited for the time zone that it's in this year. because as an Eastern time person now, Japan was pretty brutal. London was not great. So I'm excited that it's going to be at a very normal time for me.
Yeah, okay, a little more NA friendly.
It's perfect, actually.
Yeah, you might have to stay up little bit late a couple of the nights, but other than that, you'll be okay.
It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, sweet. I'm excited about a lot of the stuff I've seen. I kind of want to do the Genki Ball thing. Have any of you seen this? It's like a fun activity. You I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I believe you make a mud ball. and then you put it in the water, and it cleanses the water because of the microorganisms in it, and it's like a whole thing.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. That does look sick.
It actually looks awesome. Like, I'm really excited to try that. It sounds so fun. I
don't know whether to disappoint you or not, but that's only on the Friday and the Saturday. It's not on the Sunday.
I'm not doing anything on those days. What, I don't get a lunch break? No, I can't imagine. I'm taking my 30 to throw mud in the river. I don't know. It sounded cool. Hopefully I get a chance to. But if not, it is what it is. But let's pivot to talking a little bit about the Unite of it all. That is what we are all attending or watching the event for. Most likely the people listening to this podcast are going to be the exact same as us. It's going to be a pretty crazy year. We have changed up a few things. Now, I know that Bridget Wonderchef and I talked about this quite a bit on our predictions episode already. But
Maybe too much.
verdict's still out on that. Comments, please let us know if we talk too much on the podcast. But we definitely flipped the script this year in terms of how the format works. Kello, you, of course, were a part of that casting team last time. We saw so many hearts broken on day one last year. It was a brutal group stage into a bigger bracket on day two. Not necessarily bigger, but like a more forgiving bracket stage on the day. I just wanted to get all of your opinions because that's one of the biggest changes this time around. It is now going from group stage into a single elimination tournament. So Kello, how are you feeling about those changes?
I'm glad that, there's two that make it out instead of the one, for sure. I feel like it's a lot more evenly balanced. And I know in terms of, for time purposes, you know, they can't do the double elim. So, you know, day two, single elim, I like it. I think it's okay. So,
I think so too. Yeah. It's growing pains anytime we have a big change like this. But I think eventually everyone will come around to in a consensus. But Spragles, I'm curious. How about you as well?
Yeah, it's better, right? I think we'd rather have it this way. If you had to pick one of them, day one, you're going to get more teams out of groups, so you don't get those like heartbreaking ties where you're like, boy, I hope the other team that is bad wins one game so I can go. Like, none of that anymore. It's going to be way less of that. And then now in day two, every game matters. Every game is a banger. The two teams going up against each other in grand finals are undefeated, making their way there. Like, holy, what a series of games. That's going to be nuts.
Oh, it's so exciting. And I know we talked about this when the schedule first dropped. I think Tubes actually were on for that episode. It might have just been a Bridget and I solo one. But for the first time ever, Unite is going to be full stage takeover. On Saturday, we're going to be closing out the show. Unfortunately, we're not on Sunday. Give Unite 3 days, all that. But we are going to be closing out the show on Saturday, which is crazy for the first time ever. Deuce Max, how pumped are you that Unite is going to have, like, a full house to break the house down?
Brother, I am so excited. That means I don't have to have low-key jabs at the other games.
You still will.
I might
have to have those. You had to have.
Listen. Put some respect on it. No, I'm super excited. It's nice to, if we can't be on Sunday, that at least they put the effort in. With the logistical lift that they could have us take over the entire stage and hopefully grab the attention of all of the folks that are there for other games, probably TCG. I'd assume they'd be the other longest running one on Saturday just to get squared away for the following day. So I'm super, super excited about that opportunity. It does put us a little bit later, but that is a well worth it exchange in my book.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Not even to mention the very secret show match that's going to be happening on Friday that I think people should be pretty excited about. I now cannot claim to not know what it is anymore, but I think people should be pretty excited about it. It's going to be awesome. So make sure to tune in late on Friday night. It's going to be sweet.
Watch Worlds. You're going to want to watch
Worlds. Everybody. I don't know if that's a hint, but everybody is going to want to watch Worlds.
Everyone.
Oh, man. Okay, Wonderchef. I mean, dude, we get to have the whole stage on Saturday. It's going to be crazy. Group stage has already changed. I know you kind of put in your input on the last episode, but overall, is this one of the most exciting world championships we've had based on how the tournament is structured? Because I tend to think so, but how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think it's basically it's been said already, but the change is definitely, I think it's kind of an objectively better format than last year for sure, where it kind of flip-flops the group stage and the bracket stage, and it's going to be super hype. It's going to be so good for like the viewers. I think we're just going to be, I don't know, shouting too much the entire weekend. So
way too much.
Yeah. I also think this is like one of the best international years, I guess, for Pokemon Unite, where like every single region looks super duper scary, and we don't know if we're gonna get that same three-peat. Like, there's just a lot up in the air, and I think it's looking really cool.
Three-peat would be insane. It would actually be so crazy, but who knows, could be possible. I think I'll chime in on this before we go over to you, Bridget, but this, like, the event itself, I am unbelievably stoked for, if you can't tell. But this event is going to be fantastic for all the reasons that my co-hosts have said already, but I don't know, just the chance to take over the whole stage, I think it's just something that I've been really begging for a long time, for Unite to be able to do so, and now that it's actually happening, that is sick. I can't wait. Also, I wanted to say, if you were fans of like a lot of the fun creative things we tried with the broadcast at NAIC, you should be very excited about some of the plans we got in store for Worlds, because we got like a lot of, I don't know, got some good stuff lined up, which I think will make the stream really fun. So Bridget, is there anything in particular, the 2 days, are you like, are you stoked for the finals already? Are you going to be like trying to follow your favorite team? What's the vibe when you're going into watching Worlds over this thing? Are you just going to try to consume it all?
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed just kind of like taking it all in. I'm excited. That also makes me excited for the single Elim bracket on Saturday. We like get to see more.
Way more
of those games. I don't know. I don't know if I have necessarily like certain teams I'm rooting for. I mean, kind of, I feel like I'm always kind of rooting for like all of the NA and EU teams.
Okay.
Since I'm obviously a little more familiar with them, but I don't know. I kind of like a lot of teams, so I'm just excited to see how everyone does, and like, honestly, like the metagame that kind of emerges on a land environment is always fun to watch. So,
yo, that's why you're a host on this podcast. I'm so happy you transitioned perfectly into the next point of the outline. I want to start talking about meta a little bit before we get into some of these teams and the regions we're excited to watch, predictions and all things like that. Let's talk about the metagame that we're going to be seeing at the event, because it has been a minute since we have seen an official tournament, even longer if you take NAIC out of the equation. For like some of these teams, regionals was forever ago, and multiple patches now at this point. We are looking at a very interesting one. Bridget, what do you think of the meta so far? It's been a few weeks now that we've had the Shadow Flame patch. We've had a few grassroots tournaments. What's it looking like for you?
I actually am really enjoying the meta right now.
Okay.
I'm kind of playing like on and off, and I mean, it's really cute, so it makes me want to like pull my hair out. But when I've been watching tournaments and things, I don't know. There obviously are some Pokemon that are like, I feel like almost like a top like 5 or 6 bands, but there is some like wiggle room, I feel like, maybe among like what teams want to deal with or not want to deal with. Like Charizard, for example, I could see, like, sometimes I feel like some teams think it's a must ban, other teams feel like they can play around it really well. I don't know. And then I just think playing on land makes it a whole new ball game for sure. So
100%.
I think this is a really fun meta, and I'm excited to see the world stage on it. I think it's better than last year, not gonna lie.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Last year was pretty dominated by a few Pokemon. We only had one ban last year, too, which is an important thing to bring up. But, of course, it was like Urshifu, Zacian, Lapras were kind of dominating a lot of stuff like that. Urshifu, like, to the point where it was basically getting banned every single
game.
Welcome
back.
Welcome back. I was actually, I'm interested. Dupesex, what do you think? Is there, I know there's a few Pokemon kind of at the top of everyone's ban priority list, but if you had to pick one that you think will get closest to 100% ban rate, because I don't know if we're going to see a 100% ban rate in all the games at Worlds, that's probably impossible. But what Pokemon do you think will get closest to that 100% ban rate?
I actually think it might be something along the lines of Slowbro. The reason I say that is because you can focus down. It's easier to pick apart the attackers that your team, the other teams might want to favor. But Slowbro is like, I can see like an LG banning Slowbro every single time.
Okay.
Right? Because they want Overlord to have Blue Shifu or Blaziken or whatever they put him on and be like, we just don't want him to get slow beamed. We don't care. After that, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I do think the Slowbro buffs were relevant enough that we've seen it enough, because every team that goes to Worlds should theoretically have a player that just can't let them get slow beam. So I know I don't think it's a spicy take. I think it's okay. Maybe an unconventional pick in this spot, but I do think Slowbro stonks are up, and maybe it's just the Western bias here from just what I've been seeing, but that makes sense to me.
Okay. Same question to you, Spraggles. I saw you thinking about that last one. So what do you think is the closest to 100% ban rate?
Oh, it's so tough. I feel like Cerulege could be the closest thing. I feel like Umbreon as a defender could be one of the closest ones too. I feel like you're going to see so many games where it's like Char, Cerulege, Umbreon, something.
Mimikyu, Hoopa, Slowbro.
Probably Blaziken over Mimikyu.
Oh,
maybe?
I thought you had already mentioned Blaziken. Yes.
I think Blaziken on land. First off, Blaziken's stupid. And then Blaziken on land after it recently got buffed is just nuts. And then you think about Cerulege. Like, Cerulege feels a little like Zoroark to me, like last season. Like, you don't want to see one of these, like, unbelievable players. You don't want to see Overlord on Cerulege or something. Like, that would be a nightmare. So. Right. For me, it's like in that realm. There are like four or five Pokemon that are going to get banned a ton, which is going to be really interesting, because when the meta is so when there are so many power picks, you can't get rid of all of them. You're like,
no,
we get rid of two, but now they still have Mimikyu and Leafeon and Slowbro. Like, you could only do so much. It's going to be really wild.
Yeah,
yeah, that was kind of why I ended up, as I was thinking through it, going Slowbro, because since you can't realistically target all those other ones, one of them is going to have to come through every single game, right? So that's where I was like, well, if we're talking about the close to 100%, that's why I went that way. But that's what's cool, right? The fact that we're having this conversation and we can't readily identify that and feel confident, that's a great sign for what we're walking into.
Yeah, it's an interesting metagame because of that, because there is, like, I've been calling it the Big Bad 5. I think I might increase it to the Big Bad 6, but those Pokemon are just always going to be there.
You already printed the t-shirt.
Blaziken would be my vouch. I'm actually curious about what do we think out of all of those that we mentioned is going to have the least amount of bans, aka the most amount of first picks, but we can get into all that. I want to hear from Wonder Chef and Kello as well. So Kello, how about you? What do you think is going to be the most banned Pokemon at Worlds?
Ditto to what everybody else has just said.
Okay.
I agree. I think that will be a lot of Blaziken bans.
Yes.
Mimikyu, I know, has been pretty popular in terms of bans in NA. I know I've been looking at Dr. Poker's stats a lot seeing, you know, the bans across the board. I mean, Charizard seems to be the most popular one from all the recent ones. But besides that, Mimikyu, Blaziken, and Cerulege. So just all of the all-rounders, just get rid of them pretty much.
So good right now. Chef, how about you?
It has to be Blaziken, honestly. It's just so good, and it's also one of those Pokemon where it's like a specialist Pokemon where, like, if you really know how to play that Pokemon, you are so good with it, and it's had, like, a lot of time where it's been decently relevant in the meta, like, basically the past entire year, like, since its release almost, it's been, like, decently showing up, now obviously it's showing up a lot more, so I feel like it's one of those Pokemon that you gotta take away because A, it's too strong, and B, there's gonna be some specialist on their team that's just gonna destroy you if you don't get rid of it, so it's gotta be that. I don't know what else it could be. I like the Slowbro call, though. I think that's basically banning it by choosing it, so you got to do that too.
Yeah, Slowbro's in a weird spot though, right? Because it enters this like now unholy trinity of what unite moves can cancel what all of a sudden. It used to be just alone in that ability, and now like, well, you can Mimikyu ulta, or I can Charizard ulta. I guess Urshifu kind of exists, but we haven't seen too much single strike. Who knows where we'll go with that. But let's go to the opposite side of the spectrum then. If we're going to see those Pokemon banned frequently and honestly picked as much as they can be if they are not in that banning phase, let's talk about the fun stuff. Let's go sleeper picks. What kind of Pokemon do we think are going to be those sleeper options that show up and maybe not even just like have little fun spots, but like, hey, this Pokemon could go far and not enough people are talking about it. Let's go reverse order. Wonder Chef, how about you?
Okay, I don't know if this counts as a sleeper pick, but the Pokemon I'm really loving in the meta right now is Pikachu. I think Pikachu
is
awesome.
That's a great sleeper pick.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I think some of the teams have been using it, but like every time I'm super impressed. Like watching the good players play it, it's like, okay, this Pokemon's here to stay for real.
Mm. Okay, I like it. How about you, Kello?
Mamoswine.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, if you're still sleeping on Mamo, I don't know what to tell you. Get on the train. We're going.
It's so weird because it hasn't received any buffs at all, but it's just risen in the meta suddenly. So I know there's always, you know, that risky play because it does have that 3-tier evolution and not evolving at level 9. When are they going to buff Mamo? I don't know if it needs to be buffed, really, because it just seems pretty good. It's so good right now. I guess it really is. It's just such a brawly meta.
Yeah.
Now it just plays, Ice Fang just plays into it so well.
And I was talking with Deuce Nikes about this on I think it was our last Mayhem that we casted together. The Mamoswine, like, needing 9 for its Unite move, it feels like that's very... If you're running high horsepower with the Icicle Crash, you love the Unite move because it's kind of this third piece of the combo. You get the big Icicle Crash, you dive in with high horsepower, and then you follow up with your Unite move, and it all just kind of blends together well. But when you're running Ice Fang, you don't really need your Unite move that often. You're getting that KO when you land those little Mamo plays anyway. So, like, honestly, being at Piloswine doesn't hurt that bad when Ice Fang is the popular moveset. At least in my opinion, that's what I've been finding when playing Mamo or casting games of it. But Spraggles, how about you? Content Cowboy, where's that secret sauce?
There are a few that I could shout out real quick. I think Talon's buffs are pretty cool, and it makes it a very interesting, like, map pressure, but still really good speedster Pokemon right now. And there are a few Talon players out there, so maybe one of them will bring that out. With all the all-rounders being banned, I think Gary becomes an option again, which could be pretty cool. And it did just receive a buff, making it more viable by itself, like just like hanging out soloing a lane for a while because it can rip objectives now.
Yep.
And then my last one is probably not going to happen, but Wigglytuff is a hard counter to Cerulege. So if some teams do let it through, there is an option there to kind of like bait out a Cerulege from your opponents and then counter them with Wiggly because you wanted to play it anyway.
So sick. We said it on the podcast, when, like, after that first week of the Shadow Flame patch, when everybody was, Cerulege was everywhere, it was destroying, and we finally saw Wiggly rise up. I was like, if this is the price I have to pay for Wiggly to be meta, I am so willing to pay that price. Deucenex, how about you? What's your sleeper power pick?
I don't think this is, for some reason they're slept on, and I'm flabbergasted as to why every time it seems to happen. And it's Sylveon and Glaceon just take over the game. And I hate to say that I've just kind of been up this tree all year long, just because it keeps, like, I don't understand why we're not adjusting. But I feel like those are things that are never banned, sometimes not picked at all, but, like, every time they are, it's like, yeah, obviously. You know what I mean? It's like, of course! Like, of course this is what it's doing. So I think that's, like, my... without getting too deep into the well, I think that's what I would say. And my other one was going to be Wigglytuff as well.
Okay.
Because I think it does exactly a pseudo off tank, right? You don't have to play it as your support character. You can get a really good support. There's great ones in the game that now, because of that big six we were talking about, you can't actively like ban out anymore, right? Like, it's corner cases when you're actually aggressively attacking the supports in your ban, so you can still get like an Eldegoss or a Blissey, and then makes it a lot easier to digest having a Wigglytuff kind of in your off tank type role. So that was mine, but I agree wholeheartedly, because I do expect Cerulege to be, if not banned, a pretty dominant factor.
Okay Bridget, how about you?
I guess one that we haven't mentioned, I don't think it's a sleeper pick necessarily, but I think Hoopa is OP. Like, broken, still so good, especially in pick ban. I could even see it becoming bans for some teams, for sure, just because of how oppressive the map control can be. Not a surprise there, but, like, my real sleeper pick, I think, might be Scyther. I know not everyone is a Scyther believer.
Specifically the middle part of our video right now. Do not like Scyther.
Just disgusted.
I'm just saying. Eastern teams love it.
Yeah, they do.
I saw Overlord playing it in Mayhem Finals. They won. It looked good.
There we go.
So I'm just saying.
The Overlord transitive property goes hard. I'm with it. Yeah, I mean.
I can't wait for a Scyther to engage and then just get caught with just, anything. I don't know.
Anything, like a
cotton spore pop, and then it's
haters.
Just dead.
And I hope then it it's wins just dead. In finals. Haters,
yes, yes.
Overlord exists in finals, so like, yeah, if Overlord's all in on Scyther, we might see it have a good weekend. If like Xingdi is all in on Scyther, sure, we'll see it have a good weekend.
Oh yeah, he might. That would there be big. Go. Okay. Since we all kind of gave not sleeper but sleeper picks and a sleeper pick, my not sleeper but sleeper one, I mean, Mamo, at this point, I don't know if you can call it a sleeper anymore. It's just so strong into the metagame. I had one and I'm completely blanking on it now. One that I think it might be a decently high and it could show itself on land. I don't know. It's a Pokemon that needs some buffs, but Aegislash. Potentially, every now and then you give that to a World's Caliber player, you give it crazy good secure, and I remember the one that, I think this is kind of controversial for a sleeper pick, so it's up to you all to decide if it is or not. I think Dragonite fills that role of being kind of a sleeper pick, but I think you start putting Dragonite in Central Area again, and you feel solid about it, but it doesn't have to. You know, it's an all-rounder that can bottom path if it needs to. I think we can start seeing some Dragonite at Worlds again.
I got a question. Is it Hyper Beam or Outrage Dragonite, though?
Oh. I was going to ask the same thing. There's a bunch of Outrage Dragonites right now, and I don't exactly understand it, so somebody needs to explain that to me, but
a lot of stuns in a melee involved meta that's always really good. In a competitive play though, it just feels Hyper Beam.
I don't think it works competitive, but I think in like ladder it does out stun a lot of these like really good, like it'll beat Ceruledge 1v1, it'll beat Blaziken 1v1 because they just can't do enough.
How does it do against Scyther there, Spraggles?
Yeah, absolutely dumpster Scyther 1v1. But look, maybe a team could really support it, but you'd probably see Hyper Beam, right? Just after Kabi-chan's, like if a team's got the coordination, it's pretty perfect. And a lot like I was just talking about with Gyarados, it's got that ability to be all by itself and rip and secure an objective. It's like a early Blaziken, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. Not to mention, it's Unite move. I've went on this rant a couple of times, but I feel like it is not talked about enough as a relevant really factor of that Pokemon, the ability to use it for min charge and just kind of short hop for all my melee fans out there, to be able to use the Unite move and get charge back, or of course, extend across the map. It's pretty huge. But okay, yeah, unless anybody has anything else to bring up, does anybody have any, amongst our hosts here, have any questions they want to bring to the group about the metagame, or should we move on to, like, teams and stuff?
Oh, I'm on top, that is all.
All right, let's go. I'm with it. All right, let's jump into the kind of predictions, but kind of just like, let's talk about sort of the landscape of the teams that are going to be attending the event. I feel like we got to bring it up near the start. It's been talked about on Twitter a decent amount for some of these teams. It's happened every year, but it sounds like there will be some teams who unfortunately will not be able to attend the event. I don't know if any have said officially on their Twitters, like if they just definitely cannot make it or anything like that. So I don't really want to speak to that. Who did?
Elevate did.
That huge bummer. Hurts. Yeah. That hurts so bad. Runner ups of last year will not be able to attend the event. That really sucks. So unfortunately, that's going to kind of skew things a little bit when it came to our earlier predictions episodes and stuff. But yeah, we're super bummed that we are not able to get that in. We did have a Discord notification. Dan Lee has joined the call. So thank you so much for joining the call, Dan Lee. Welcome. We're going to get your audio from Discord, so feel free to say hi. Dan Lee, how have you been?
I am tired. It's like morning. I literally just sent my husband and son to like school and work. So I'm knackered, honestly.
Oh, I am so sorry. Thank you for showing up in the morning for the event. If you want to join the video and join the call via camera, you totally can. If you don't want to, no pressure at all. But yeah, welcome to the podcast. For everybody in chat who doesn't know who you are, Danily, though, do you want to do a quick intro?
Sure. I was not expecting this. Dang, I didn't rehearse anything. Hi. So I am going to be one of the casters on the desk, although I might be more of janitorial, just cleaning up after everybody, because I know everyone here does an amazing job on panels.
And make some mess, you know, canonically.
Just make some mess. Leave the trash can free in case I need to throw myself inside.
Oh,
but
wonderful.
Honestly, I feel blessed to be on the panel with you guys. Like, I'm so excited for Worlds. It's not funny.
Mm. Oh, well, the feeling is absolutely mutual, Danily. We cannot wait. I mean, we've talked to you about it personally, but I can't remember the amount of times that we were like staying up late on like the shows where we were doing for the NANU broadcast, watching the APAC broadcast and being like, Danily's like crushing it. Like, that was a frequent thing we were bringing up. So we are pumped to have you with.
I've never like watched another broadcast and said anything bad about other casters, but one time I said a good thing about a caster and it was Danily. I was like, whoa, she is killing it. So I'm so excited that you're on the show.
Aw, thank you. Oh, I feel so welcome. Thanks, guys.
Excited to have two Aussie gals.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, Australia represent. We're going to steal the panel, guys. I'm sorry if you don't have jobs next year.
All Aussie.
That's why I've been adjusting my sleep schedule for the past decade.
Embracing the Aussie. Yeah.
Getting ready.
Yeah, there we go.
First takeover.
Worlds next year leaks already? Uh-oh.
That'd actually be sick.
That'd be so cool. It'd be awesome. I don't know. But anyway, let's, Danily, to catch you up. So far, we've talked about just classic intros and all that. We talked a little bit about the things we're excited about for Hawaii in terms of the event as a whole or just traveling to Hawaii to visit as well. We talked a little bit about how the format has changed this year, our thoughts on that. And then we talked a lot about the metagame. So for the sake of you not having to go on a giant monologue, why don't you just chime in on the metagame? How you feeling about the current Pokemon that we're seeing quite a bit? A lot of Cerulege, Charizard, Blaziken, things like that. We asked everybody, what do you think is going to be the most banned Pokemon at Worlds after the entire event? And then do you have a sleeper pick Pokemon that you think is going to go crazy?
Most banned. Okay, this one's pretty interesting because I really feel like from what I've seen so far, it has definitely been very regional, right? Because up until this point, we haven't had any international tournaments since like way earlier this year.
Like
so
February,
lots of new
right?
Pokemon.
Yeah,
pretty much. So, oh gosh, this is such a regional. I honestly think it's either going to have to be a defender or a support because generally speaking, right, we've seen from a lot of these tournaments, the pillars of teams are always going to be the supports or the defenders.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm leaning towards Hooper again because we've seen this Pokemon time and time again come back at Worlds and be so pivotal for its team.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with how the popularity of Clefable and Blissey has really fallen down. I think it's probably going to be Hooper again.
Okay, as the most banned. I mean, it's a very safe ban for sure for teams as well. You're like, hey, I don't want to have to deal with those rotations. We can play it a little safer. Mm-hmm. Let's just ban Hooper. That makes a lot of sense. And then, Danily, opposite end of the spectrum, I suppose, in terms of the question. Do you have a sleeper pick Pokemon? Not enough people are talking about this thing, and it's literally going to win Worlds. What is it?
I have a feeling, I have this really sneaking suspicion, it might be Chandelure.
I feel like this Pokemon
can really mess people up. Mm-hmm. And I think
specifically
my theory behind this...
Oh, and Scyther. No, I'm just kidding.
Scyther as well. Chandelure, it's such an interesting attacker because it provides utility to its team, and in particular with its Unite, right? So we have seen a couple of regions pick Chandelure because because it gaps single target Pokemon, because when you want to lock onto somebody, the Unite kicks in. Yeah. All of a sudden, there's those few seconds where you don't even know where anybody is, and normally everyone just literally piles themselves onto that Pokemon. And from there, you have that numbers advantage. And this includes objectives. So when you're fighting around the Regis and you're fighting around the Ray, so like Chandelure is such a pain in the bum to play against. So I really feel like the candle is
pain in the bum.
Yes!
And not for nothing, it's also a pain in the bum to play with sometimes when it blinds the Regieleki while it's walking towards your base and then just walks in while you have a full like, five members defending, and Regieleki's like, I can't see him. They're clearly not there.
Exactly. It is insane how much utility this single attacker has. Like, I feel like this is the most team-centric attacker in Pokemon Unite right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's super sick. Obviously, it has great play into Blaziken or Sayerledge with that Imprison play. And then its Unite move, like you mentioned, has so much versatility. Cramorant and Charizard, two Pokemon that are meta-relevant that do have their Unite moves, take a pretty big hindrance if they get blinded by Shandy Unite, so... It's a great choice for a sleeper pick. I liked it a lot. But okay, we were wrapping up our discussion on the Pokemon, and now we're going to be talking about just general world predictions for some of these regions, these teams, and things like that. The first question I want to ask, though, to everybody, it's not really a team that you think is going to win the tournament, maybe not even a team that you think is going to go far, but what is one team that if you were talking to someone who likes Unite, maybe casually, not even into the game, but you're like, you got to watch this team at Worlds. Like, this is your team that is the pitch deck for Unite Worlds. What team are you giving the shout out to anybody? Just a suggestion. Who is the must watch team? You go back in the YouTube VOD to view that kind of thing. Deuce next. We'll start with you. Do you have a team to shout out in that regard?
Ooh. I would have shouted out SAUL Esports, but it looks like it's I think they've got a really cool story and narrative going to this year, but it looks like it's going to be pretty difficult for them to make it to Hawaii, unfortunately. It's not set in stone, but if I remove that factor, I will say SAUL Esports. I happen to just always be loitering around the Indian Unite Discord, and it's they've got a really strong community there. So cool. I think their story is neat, and I would point people in their direction.
Yeah, they're definitely a fun team. Bridget, how about you?
God, I'm such a Brazil fan, man.
You are. You really are. Unabashedly so.
I have to. Happy birthday, baby Mazo, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Much love, Mazo.
So I would say either of the Brazil teams, but Legacy, obviously, I am more familiar with. Even if Zoinks thinks their games aren't the cleanest, they're always very exciting and fun and fast-paced.
That's true. So,
I would say a Legacy game for sure.
Okay.
Or DreamAx. DreamAx is also very good.
Yeah, they both look solid. I mean, Legacy, or at least the majority of that roster, went pretty far last year. So a good shout for a team that could do extremely well. Spraggles, how about you? Team to watch?
Yeah, I was also going to say Legacy. I mean, wow. I love Legacy, but I'll give it up to maybe Zora Tigers Gaming. The reason being is Korea they have like some wild games, and they're always a region that has very little hype, but does pretty dang well and is kind of a spoiler to a lot of really good teams oftentimes. So I'm excited to see that. And I mean, I think everyone's got great answers. Of course, like India, you know, it like Dupesnacks, I'm fully there with them, especially with how well ACL went. But yeah. If I don't get Legacy, I'll go Korea.
Okay. Tigers Gaming. That's a sick vouch. I mean, for anybody who's just joining the episode or the podcast for the first time, the deep lore is that I have been championing Zora Tigers Gaming for so long. I mean, damn it all, the chat and everybody else. I am a true Zora Tigers Gaming believer. I think Ward is one of the best defenders in the flipping game right now. I can't wait to see them play on the stage. It's going to be awesome. So big, big, big vouch for Zora Tigers Gaming. Love that. Danily, how about you? What is your team to watch?
I don't know if I want to put in a very serious answer or more of a fun answer, to be honest.
This is the fun question, to be fair. This is the fun one.
So I think if you want a really fun team to watch, it's probably going to have to be Talon Esports, assuming that they're going. Okay. My concern is that they might not be going at all because the team is from the Philippines, right? So Elevate didn't get their visa in time, and Talon are possibly in the same boat.
Okay.
Come on.
It's a really common thing, unfortunately. But I'm praying for them, okay? I still think there is time for them to make it through.
Alex in chat is saying that they are going to make it. And actually, Denley, I think I remember seeing a tweet from the Talon crew that they did get it.
They're going?
I think they are going. Thank God. We can all take a breath of fresh air.
Let's go.
Talon will be attending Worlds. Let's go.
Okay, that is awesome. So, here's the tea. Not really. So I'm friends with the manager. Manager's really cool. But the players on the team, they are so easy to love. They are so fun. Aww. They are so goofy. They are amazing to be around in real life. And so for some of you guys that don't know as well, the Talon roster, if you actually look back at Worlds last year, these guys were actually the same players as, I think it was a mix actually, old guys, if you guys remember from last year. So Kumu. Yeah. So these guys, they got picked up by Talon, and they have been such an amazing journey to watch because they became, I guess, like the third best team in the Philippines. And now they can square themselves up very evenly against Elevate. And we all know Elevate was Omo from last year, which was second place. So right. I have really high expectations for these guys. And I've sat down and I've interviewed them last year and spoken to them a couple of times. They're so passionate. They are so That's passionate awesome. About the game. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they do at Worlds. But if you want somebody to grow attached to, it's Talon.
Oh, I That's love awesome. That vouch. That is such a good pitch, Natalie. Well done. I am very excited about Talon. I have them ranked extremely high on my power rankings for the sheer fact that they were able to take down Elevate in that grand finals for the Philippines qualifier. They moved up a lot for being able to take down the world's runner-ups from last year. I thought that was pretty crazy. But let's go to Wonder Chef next. Same question to you. Who is your team to watch? Who's going to be the most fun to watch this year?
Ooh, there's a lot of good answers for this, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of teams that have specific, one might say troll comps, but okay. I'll just say like signature comps. And like, for example, like I think Nouns got to really show that off in their own like final regionals. But it's not going to be my pick, even though they're like right up there. They were almost my pick. I'm going to go with, after watching the Unity Clash Asia, I'm going to go with Team NYS.
That's
they
good.
Were nice. Really fun to watch, and they went five defenders a lot and played against some very serious comps and did extremely well. And when they had to, they actually played real comps as well and did really extremely well against a lot of teams that I think a lot of people were considered to do very, very well in Worlds. I mean, obviously, that entire region is very scary, so I'm going to go with Team NYS.
Okay. I love that one. Five defenders at Worlds would be crazy. If that happens, my gosh, I'm popping off. Kello, how about you? Team to watch.
I'm sitting here like, okay, Danalee's picked my pick. I'll go for a next one.
Sorry,
Jess
I'm
just
sorry.
Picked my pick. Okay, I have to be different, right? But it was Talon that was on my list, and then next up was MYS. So I'm actually going to go for another APAC team here,
okay.
And I'm going to select Shin and Rude.
That was mine. So dope.
That was mine. I'll have to change it.
Okay, sorry.
No,
it's
they're
kind
so
of
good.
Fun that like. These picks are so, like, yeah, I hear Shin and Rude, I'm like a sleeper pick. They're so dang good.
No, not a sleeper pick. This is not, that's not, it's just who's the most fun to watch? Like, what team?
Oh, that's right. Okay,
like,
fun to watch.
When you're just pitching
sorry.
A team, like, who's going to be, like, the exciting one that you got to pay attention to?
They're great. It's like every, there's so many exciting teams. I don't think you could throw out a team and everyone would be like, huh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a fun team. My goodness. Yeah. Well, I was going to say Shin and Rude for my team. I just think Shingdi is one of the most fun players to watch in the lobby. And so getting to see them work is always fantastic. So I'm going to go with a slightly different one. Let's see. There's some left. Not a sleeper team. I think watching Fusion is a hell of a good time. So, yes, maybe they are one of the best teams in the entire world and currently on the top of my list, but I'm going to give Fusion the vouch. If not Fusion, Nemesis. That would be my, like, second place right there. I love watching Nemesis games. They're very, and they're really solid at a lot of these metagame Pokemon that we discussed in the previous section, so I got high hopes for that squad. It's going to be very fun. But okay, let's move off that question. Let's just go, what region do we think is going to be the 2024 world champion holders? We don't have to pick a team, just a region. Let's play it a little bit safer in these bold predictions. Let's go through. Why don't we start with you? Kello, you ended the last question. We'll start with you. Kello, what region is winning Worlds?
APAC.
Ooh, East or West?
Oh, that's so tricky.
Did you pick it because they were two?
LATAM. I'm going to go APAC East.
APAC East. All right. Hey, good vouch. Good vouch. Good vouch. Danley?
Oh, tough one. Give me a second. I'm trying to make a very, very calculated decision. Ooh. I kind of think LATAM, guys.
North or south? Okay, I can't.
Okay, that's a bit too deep for me. Okay. Gosh.
Just LATAM's a fair vouch. I think we can give it to you. It's a little more narrow than APAC's got like 32 teams. So that's fair. that's fine. Okay. Yeah, America's all of them. It's a good, nice one. I like that. Okay, Natalie, we'll come back to you. Wonder Chef, you're next.
America, because they already have visas, and that's already a buy into at least top four.
And four teams. The most teams represented, statistically, the highest chance of winning Worlds.
Yeah, no, that's actually not my pick, though, to be honest. I think, if I had to say it, also, it's really between those two. APAC and LATAM are both extremely good right now. APAC. Wow. No, APAC.
Okay. I can't believe we went through three people and we haven't answered this team. So Spraggles, I'm going to give it to you.
Japan.
Yeah, there we go. I can't believe we made it through three people. We have not said Japan yet. That's crazy. But okay, we got a Japan vouch. Chat, please let us know who you think is going to win as well while we're doing this. But Bridget, on to you. Team, region that's going to win Worlds.
I definitely was going to say Japan if no one else said it. But I might get on, like, it's hard because it's just like, oh, like, technically Korea's its own region, but true, they have one team. So it's hard. Like, I feel like...
But they're the best.
I know. It's like, I don't want to say Korea, just be different, but then that's picking a team. So there you go.
Yeah.
There's something like Korea.
Okay, great. You could go with Korea. Yeah. Brazil still? Yeah. No one's chosen Brazil yet, if we want to...
Going to yell at me if I...
That is not true!
Not either, either.
That is not true! That is not true. I've talked to Brazil people about that grand finals, and I've learned some stuff. I'm starting to reevaluate.
Brazilian people, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Deep Snacks, your turn.
Everybody knows I'm a huge homer, and I think the window of NA winning these world championships is closing rapidly. come on, Overlord, three times, baby.
Okay. Okay. Wow, three-time champ would be crazy.
He is the only person, him and Slash, right? The only two that have the opportunity to make that happen. So, yes, I'm throwing my hat in the NA ring, bring it back for the third time, and then, you know, we can at least say, from now on, at least we got the first three.
All right.
We won't get any more.
Well, okay, Danley, back to you. Are you sticking with your LATAM pick? Have you picked a side of the fence to go with there?
I am... supporting the entirety of LATAM.
All right. Okay. Again, two regions worth, but it's fine. I am also going to go with Japan. I think Japan is really good.
Truly, guys, I think you are falling into a trap.
A trap of being correct? Really, this is the worst trap in the world.
Elaborate.
Okay. So my thinking is that, this is my line of thought, okay? I could absolutely be wrong. Japan is extremely strong, and they look strong, right? Because they are a strong region in general. But what we have seen from this team, when they play outside of Japan, if they don't play within Japan, I kind of feel like it shakes the players.
Zeta Division got first at ACL and second at AO's Cup.
It's still Asia, guys. It is still Asia. It's not that far of a flight for us. But like for me, like I'm in Malaysia, right? So my flight to Hawaii is far. And for Japan as well, like our flights are quite far.
Okay. Okay.
And
so
there is a pretty
Japan.
Big time difference. Yeah, because we also don't know how early some of these teams will be in Hawaii, right? So we don't know how quickly people are going to be able to adjust to the time zones, how much time they'll be able to practice as well. Because insider info for ACL, if you guys didn't know, a lot of the players that went to ACL, they were telling me that they barely got time to play because they had all this media day, they had all this stuff that they had to do. Mm. And I think at most they had like one or two nights of scrims, and this is like 10 p.m. onwards.
Oof.
So we don't know what the schedule is going to be like for the players because they also have media day at Worlds. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. how everything works over there.
Yeah.
So having to not only adjust to the time zone differences, but maybe even like food. I know some people, when they travel, if they don't cook for themselves, you are going to get upset stomachs and whatnot. So
okay, that's
anything
true.
Can happen. And I really think these environmental, I don't know, not issues, but environmental differences, I feel like this might knock Japan down a notch and basically not have a Japanese champion.
Wow.
I have two thoughts on that. I have a for agreement and against that. Where I will say that as far as food and time zones, Hawaii is definitely like pretty good for Japan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Japanese culture in Hawaii, like tons and tons and tons, where it gets really mixed up for reasons that are probably not great all the time. But so luckily there should be a lot of really good like stuff as far as like food, and the time zones for them are pretty good, and just things that they can adapt to. But I will say we did see them in Unity Clash Asia again, which I know I keep talking about, but it was a really fun tournament. And we did see Zeta Division lose to Isen Almento and not even make it into like the top five. So that's a pretty big deal. Obviously there's ping, you know, in online tournaments like that, there's a lot of things that could happen, but it's still really interesting, right? It's still something to really think about. Cause again, that's another team that we haven't even like, I think, been giving a lot of credit, but who knows what could happen.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
it's sure. really cool that the level of competition is so like stacked from mm-hmm. every region. Like we haven't even talked about NA, you know, Dupesnax did, but they are the 2-time world champs.
Right.
And we're kind of like, probably, like, that's how good it is worldwide right now. So it really could be. It's really anybody's game. We haven't talked about EU. They probably have the best team they've ever had come out of EU. So it's going to be wild. Yeah, I can't wait.
I actually wonder if, like, this year Nouns played last year Tally Bobo. Who wins that best of five set? That'd be a fun. I need my like my version of like NBA Jam, but for Pokemon Unite with like Overlord Season 2 Grand Finals versus Gatlu Season 1 World Championships. Yes, that's what I need. Well, okay, I think that's a really interesting point, Spraggles. Like just how even the field feels this time around. I don't know. I feel like going into the last couple of World Championships, I was like pretty confident about like, I don't think that region's very strong. I think that region's incredible. I don't know. It feels like we're having a lot of gap closing in this tournament. So it feels like my next question, which was going to be like, what team's the dark horse to win the tournament, feels like not even relevant because any of them could win. So maybe we'll just skip past that one. Chat, now is a great time to answer some questions, or if you have any questions for any of the guests we have here, including Dan Lee, who's not on screen but in the call. So if you have any questions, please send them into chat. I already see one from Gatlu, who had a question for me. Where is the mustache? I do not have the mustache. I'm so sorry. I've worked on it. It doesn't work. I don't know what else to say. It's really bleak. Yeah. It's really bleak out there. But yeah, please, chat, send us a couple. I don't know if anybody saw any questions from previous. I saw a couple more. I'll have to scroll. No, fine.
I think we should be able to ask chat questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that's fair.
All right. Talk to
I didn't have a follow-up to that, to be honest. I was really hoping.
Do you expect
really
group stage to be full of upsets? Do you expect the group stage to be full of upsets?
Yes.
I agree.
Always.
Every game is going to feel like an upset.
What?
Like every game is going to feel like they're going to be crazy. Like it's a heartbreaker game every single time. And some of these teams that could have won Worlds, they're just going to have those Pokemon Unite moments where Comface secures with an auto that takes it to game 3. They're rattled, and all of a sudden, one of the best teams in the world goes down in a moment that they shouldn't have. There's no second chances on day 2. So just like Tally Bobo flamed out in groups last year, and everyone's like, holy, they're going to win Worlds in a landslide team goes away, you're going to see that in day 2, and it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. Yep. I think there'll be less upsets, though, this year compared to last year, just because of how the group stage works, right? where we get multiple teams out of groups now, it feels like it'll be at least a little more consistent, at least in day one. Day two is where things will get insane.
Well,
but
maybe upset isn't even the right word I'm looking for. Like, the teams that are going into the, like, day two, they're going to be all great teams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So no matter how you look at it, you're like, oh, okay, Champion Lord beat Luminosity. That's an upset. Like, oh, Luminosity beat Entaiku. That's an upset. Like, the teams that make it through to day two, every single one of them is going to feel like a heartbreaker in some way. Maybe that's more what I mean, is like, it's just going to be...
Somebody's getting upset is what you're saying. It might not be an upset, but somebody's
getting
upset.
People are getting upset.
Not in the conventional sports term, but so many people are going to be upset.
Yeah. I'm going super literal with this. A lot of
I like that a lot. People asking us some logistic questions. Yeah, the event will be taking a weekend. Unfortunately, not on Sunday, though. Unite will not be on the Sunday. We're closing out the show on Saturday. We talked a little bit about that. Pretty excited about that. Do we think day two should be best of five sets and Grand's best of seven? Because Unite games are fast.
Nope.
No.
Really? Okay.
That sounds long.
Nope. Yeah.
In a perfect world, it's just a winners losers bracket. But we don't have
that. Only makes sense if we had three play days, not two.
Yeah.
And even then, personally, I think best of fives are my favorite format for Unite by far. I feel like the draft gets really, really interesting then, because like teams get more confident with you get it. But maybe that is too much. I do think that Grands being best of five is pretty exciting though. That is fun.
For sure.
Best of seven in a grand final single limb though would be kind of cool. But. Best of seven with blind pick game seven would be crazy. Oh my gosh, that would be so funny. You have the 5-on-5 of just the same meta Pokemon. Like, you're like, oh, well, all right.
This is probably going to be our most hyped grand finals. Like, it will be our most hyped grand 100%. Finals, I think, because the last 2 years we had some really cool moments. But the teams were already beaten after like one game. I don't want a best of seven. Can you imagine last year, Luminosity in a best of seven? They gave up by game two, Omo did.
Right.
So you wouldn't want to see that best of seven. This year, it's two undefeated teams going at it. If you were ever going to have a best of seven, it's this
that's
right.
So sick.
Such a cool way to put it.
I know. That's sick as hell. I love that. Okay, Ripto asked an interesting question here. I'm going to rephrase it a little bit, but saying, do you think we'll see any regional finals rematches in bracket? Who do you think would be the best rematch? Let's just pare that down. What inter-region battles do we think we'll see in bracket after the group stage? Japan versus Japan. Okay, that's Duke Sex Vouch. Anybody else got any fun ones that they'd like to see?
Oh, didn't Luminosity G for sure.
That would be amazing.
If there's a god, it will be to be for the champion. Like, if Arceus is real, it will be those two competing to be the only player to make 3-time worlds. That would be insane. Danley, any region versus region you'd want to see?
I just like any East versus West matchup, because then you get people in the chat that's just like, East is best, West is best. Oh, I'm sitting there like, can you guys just enjoy the game? Come on.
Oh, no. You gotta ride them up.
The LATAM showdown from EOS would be sick.
That'd be so good. So rework versus Fusion. So like North versus South LATAM battle. That would be awesome.
That'd be great.
I'd like to see that. Fusion versus 3 Digidos was apparently amazing in their regional final. So that would be a cool run back. I mean, that went 2 best of 5s, like full distance, so that would be kind of cool. There's a lot of good ones. Kello, did you have any that you wanted to shout out?
Yeah, same, just the east, west, north, south.
Fair enough.
Seeing all those.
Okay, fair enough.
Fingers crossed.
All right.
It's not exactly the case, but Legacy kind of going at nouns is a little, there's like a vibe of Talibobo there.
Oh, yeah. Legacy versus Toon. Get in the run back. Yeah. That's a fun storyline one for sure. Gosh, we could tell somebody more if Elevate was going to be there, which sucks. But let's close this thing out with just a very quick rapid fire round. I asked for region winners before. Let's just stick it with team winners now. Don't be afraid to say something new. You could absolutely repeat another team that somebody else said. Let's just end this with our final out there predictions. Who do we think is going to win the whole gosh darn thing? Deuce next.
I really want to see the three-time champion. And if you're putting me up against the wall, that means I have to choose between LG or G. And I think based on what I just saw at Unite Mike's Mayhem, Luminosity seems to be in real form. And actually, Lutano messaged me after that with some really gangster type shit about what the team that the team was ready to play. That the team was ready. So I was like, okay, all right.
What's that? Yeah, I want to know what that means. We'll talk about that later. Bridget, how about you?
You know what? Surely this time, Toon. I'm gonna say nouns.
Yeah! Let's go, baby.
Surely this time. Spraggles.
I gotta give it to Champion Lord. I think they're okay. Unbelievable.
All right. Yeah, Wonder Chef.
I was gonna say nouns. So
you
I'm
can also say
it.
Nouns. There's
nouns.
No need to. Okay.
You also think nouns. Yeah.
Dang. Let's two go. Vouchers for nouns. Let's go. Is this because Brove and Gatlu are in the chat? Right. It's fine. Kello, how about you?
Yeah. No one's gonna watch
viewership. Yeah.
But we're gonna make that three. I'm gonna go for nouns as well.
What? What is happening? Okay. All right.
I'm
by the
surprise.
You know no what? One. This is how nouns got so high up in the gamer tag ranking list. This right here.
Yeah,
it altered my perception. Yeah,
also, no one said Europe for region to win. By the way, point of order.
That's what I was gonna say. Everyone's like APAC or Japan. I'm hearing nouns. Hello,
Danily. Danily, what team is going to win Worlds?
Okay, if Japan is so strong, MYS. I'm gonna see all defender champion comp, and then we have bot lane Foxy on the mime. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
Dang, mime, one of my sleeper picks, by the way. Okay, team that I think is gonna win the entire thing. Oh, sorry.
Foxy's greeting is disgusting. Okay. Yeah.
It is.
That's sick.
MYS is so good. They're so good.
They're also just so fun. All right. I think the world champion this year is going to be Fusion. I want to see a perfect season. EOS, every regional final and Worlds. Like, that might be the greatest achievement of all time in Pokemon. You know, I think that'd be awesome. But that is going to be it. We're going to be closing up shop, everybody. Bridget, anything to shout out or plug?
My head went empty. I don't think so.
Perfect. Then for all of the rest of us, tune into the World Championships broadcast. It's going to be awesome. Bridget's going to be there in chat, I'm sure. But it's going to be a fantastic event. Tune in. Friday night show match is going to be so sick. Make sure you are there. Saturday is the grand finals. Be there or be square and see a brand new champion. I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. But thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks for our post-Worlds episode. Have fun if you're going. Have fun if you're watching. We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.